It's time for Fulton Focus, a presentation of the Fulton Alumni Association and the Public Affairs Department of WKCS Radio. Fulton Focus features news from the Alumni Association and interviews with Fulton graduates who have gone on to be successful in their career field. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Fulton Focus right here on WKCS Radio. This is your host, Russell Mays. So glad to be back with you for another year of this program. And I tell you what, we have a very special guest with us today. We're not going to go through a whole lot of the news and notes and preliminary stuff because with the gentleman that we have with us today that we're going to be talking to, I don't know if 30 minutes will necessarily be enough to cover everything. Definitely one of the greatest athletes to ever come through Fulton High School, and probably when we go over all of the things that he's accomplished, probably the greatest athlete to come through Fulton, probably the greatest athlete to ever come through Knoxville. Just a little bit about what he did. All-state football player, all-state basketball player, went on to play at the University of Tennessee, where he lettered in four different sports: football, basketball, baseball, and golf. Went on to play football in the NFL, and then later tried his hand at the professional golf tours. I just can't think of many people that's done many more of that, and it is really my honor to welcome Mr. Ron Whidbey to Fulton Focus today. Ron, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to stop by and visit with us today.
Well, no problem, Russell. I'm pleased to be here and always happy to come back to Fulton.
Well, it's definitely a special place, and we had an opportunity just a minute ago to walk up to the old Fulton High School gymnasium, which is now the new Fulton High School Library. Just talk a little bit about what that's like, to see the place that you excelled. Now it's the library. Did that bring back a lot of memories of past times?
Well, yeah, just standing in the library itself, and even though there's a couple of new walls there, but I could picture back in the 60s, 61, 2, and 3, that people in the stands and playing on that court. It was a great time of my life.
Well, the thing I always think of when I walk in there is they didn't pad the floor, so you're actually walking on the gym floor. They just laid the carpet over the top of it.
Oh,
so,
well, good. So at least they kept some of it.
Yeah, so you can walk through it and still hear it creak a little bit. You're in town. You live in Texas. Tell a little bit, everybody, about what you're doing these days.
Well, I'm still working. I lived in the Dallas area for years and years, and it got too big and too crowded, too much traffic. So now I live in Wichita Falls, which is basically 110 miles north of Fort Worth. It's 100,000 people. I live out in the country, got about 6.5-7 acres that I spend my time mowing and pilling with a couple of quarter horses. It's just fun. We don't show them anything, but I thoroughly enjoy that. And all my kids are grown, so it's just my wife and myself, and so we stay busy out there.
Well, that's great. And you still have family here in Knoxville?
Oh, yeah. I've got a lot of cousins, and my sister and brother-in-law live here, and then my mom's here. I always come back Knoxville every now and then.
Well, it's definitely good to see you. Well, let's talk a little bit about your time growing up, some of the early days. Tell us a little bit about where you went to school before you went to Fulton.
Well, I grew up right here in all around North Knoxville. We lived on Harvey Hill. We lived over off of Oglewood. When I went to Oakwood High School, then went to Christenberry, 7th through the 9th, I guess, that year. I lived over on Sanford Place there. We finally moved over to Fairfax, but still in the North Knoxville area. So I went to Fulton High School, and I've been raised, walked all over this area of North Knoxville.
So you definitely know this community well.
Oh, I got a kick out of yesterday. I had a couple hours while my mother was taking her nap, and I went out and drove around, drove by the old houses and, the neighborhoods, and I didn't get lost. I can still remember my way.
That's amazing after all this time. For someone like you that, as an athlete, who were some of the people that really influenced you maybe in your early days of playing sports, maybe even before you got to high school? Because there had to be some people that really got involved and got you interested in sports.
Yeah, and I'm going to apologize. I can't remember the coach. I've been trying to think of his name, but he coached our Baby Falcons. That's who I played for. He coached us, our Little League baseball team. and he coached the, forgot what our basketball team, but we used to play it over off close to Central, the old Knoxville High School gym. He was a big influence because he lived close by, and, when my parents were busy or daddy was at work, I could always ride with him to practice because he did all three. Then, of course, I got to watching Fulton as I got into Christianbury, and then Coach Fry was a big influence in my life. But, I wanted to do well for him, but also I wanted to play for him. But and then, of course, I've always been a Tennessee fan and dreamed of going to UT. So it was just a North Knoxville type thing, and I guess you would say that Coach Fry was probably the biggest influence.
And it was – in that time, kids played all the sports. It wasn't like today. What you've done today, I don't think would ever be possible because, in a lot of places, coaches say play one sport, specialize, which I don't necessarily think that's the best thing. In your time of growing up, I guess kids played all different kinds of sports.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was, what coaches didn't tell us that, we could only try or do one sport. They never said, just stick to one, you'd be better. Everybody needed to help every team, whether it be the baseball team or the track. Of course, I couldn't run very fast, so I never didn't track. But and in college when I played those sports, it was easier for me because I was a specialist, not a true player, the one that had to hit all the time. And so coaches let me do my thing, basically. And, I had a God-given talent. Things just came easy, and I enjoyed it all and had great coaches.
Well, we're going to take a quick break here on Fulton Focus, and when we return, we'll talk a little bit about Ron Whidbey's time here at Fulton High School. Stay with us. You're listening to Fulton Focus right here on WKCS Radio.
Falcon Radio 91.1.
The following is a public service message of this station and Call to Recycle.
Hi, this is Richard Karn, asking you to help protect the environment by recycling your old rechargeable batteries and cell phones. They're the kind you find in power tools, cell and cordless phones, laptop computers, and other cordless electronics. It's easy and it's free. To find a participating drop-off location, call toll-free 877-2-RECYCLE or visit us online at calltorecycle.org. Please answer the call to recycle.
Falcon Radio 91.1 WKCS Knoxville.
Welcome back to Fulton Focus on WKCS Radio. Our guest today is Ron Whidbey. And Ron, talk a little bit about your time at Fulton as a student. What are some of the things you remember about being a student at Fulton High School?
Well, I can remember one of my favorite classes was typing. And, that sounds funny, but today it helps. Even computer wise, I'm not very good at the computer, I'm learning, but it's funny that one little course that everybody thinks you take just to get a good grade, as an athlete, would help you later in life, but it did. And of course, the cafeteria, I worked in the cafeteria mainly to get those good hot rolls that used to come out of there when they were first baked, and we'd be able to eat them because we were back there cleaning up plates.
So. Well, my parents both went to school here, and that's something that they talked about, the good food that they always had in the cafeteria. So that had to be definitely special. On the athletic side, you played quarterback under Coach Ralph Hutchins here at Fulton High School, and it was kind of a time where the Fulton football teams were struggling a little bit. Talk a little bit about your time playing football, and talk a little bit about Coach Hutchins.
Well, I think Coach Hutchins was a great man. In fact, Coach Bob Fry and I were talking the other day, and I went over to visit him, and it's not that he didn't have the knowledge. It's, we're not sure why he couldn't get across to some of the players here, maybe myself included. We had some good athletes, but we never seemed to have a team chemistry, that could develop a winning season. I mean, I can't remember the records, but I would guess we were probably 5-5 and, in that range. But Coach Hutch was one good man.
Well, and that's, everything I've read about Ralph Hutchins kind of points to that. Of course, he had a lot of success at Rule, and I think everybody that played for him really, really liked him and respected him quite a bit.
I think so, and as I said, he didn't lose any knowledge. It was just something that he couldn't get over to the players, or the players just couldn't respond. So,
well, on that, on some of those teams that you played with, you had the opportunity to play with a guy, a place that you would have an opportunity to play with on down the road, and that's D.D. Lewis. Talk a little bit about D.D.
Well, that's correct. D.D. was probably one of the toughest football players that I was ever around, you know, early and in high school. And, of course, his uncle wasn't too bad either. But people today in Dallas, I mean, when they'll if we're at a golf tournament, a charity event or something like that, they'll ask, well, you're from Knoxville too? And D.D. will say, yeah, and so is Ron. And I always say, yeah, and guess who was a center when I played quarterback in high school? Although he went to Mississippi State and I went to Tennessee, but we got back together at the Cowboys later on in life.
Well, that had to be neat to get to play professional football with somebody you played high school football with. There's not many people that can say that they didn't have that opportunity.
It was. It was unique, and it was a lot of fun.
One thing I noticed in looking at some old articles, also during that time playing quarterback in the East Tennessee area was another pretty good high school quarterback, and that was Steve Spurrier. Did you have much knowledge of him as an athlete during that time?
Oh, yeah. You know, Steve was he was an all-around athlete, too, at that time. He played the football and basketball and baseball, and he was a good golfer also. I don't know if, being a starting quarterback at Florida, he didn't have time to do the others, I guess. But, yeah, we had some run-ins at times, basketball mainly. I don't know if we ever played against each other in football, but it was mainly basketball.
And that is right. I have run across some old scorebooks that we have that had Steve Spurrier's name in it, which I think is really interesting. Of course, he's on the minds of people in Knoxville all the time, especially when he was at Florida and now at South Carolina. Everybody's thinking about what Steve Spurrier's doing next. Yeah. So it's interesting that all of these things kind of fit together. Most people think of you as a basketball player at Fulton High School. Was basketball your favorite sport?
Yes, it was. It was my favorite sport by far. I was tall and lanky, and not heavy, not fast. But could throw the ball, and fairly decent, and I could punt the ball. But I enjoyed football, but basketball was by far my favorite sport.
And you mentioned just a few minutes ago about Bob Fry, and he's another legendary coach from around the Knoxville area, and everyone that talks about Bob Fry talks about what a great coach and a great man he is. Talk a little bit more about Coach Fry.
Well, without a doubt, he is. When I was a senior, I had broke my arm and shoulder in football that year, and I missed the last couple of games. And so I evidently missed five or six basketball games. And Tennessee had offered me a scholarship, so I wanted to go to Tennessee, so I talked to him because Coach Fry went to Tennessee and went ahead and signed the football scholarship because I wasn't sure, with a shoulder injury, how my shoulder would heal, with rebounding required and so forth. So make a long story short, I went into the basketball season, had a good year, and had another discussion with Coach Fry about, I really don't want to play football. That I would prefer basketball. And so he got together with Coach Gibbs, was at the time. Coach Mears had just came in, his assistant. And I'll never forget we told him that I wanted to opt out of football scholarship and get a basketball. And one of the things he said, he was, we're not sure Ron can play at this level. And I've never seen anybody that wasn't my key and get so mad. So Coach Fry, to this day, you'll see him. He said, well, you finally was able to play at that level, son.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that. 1962 was a special year for Fulton High School basketball. I guess you were a junior that year. And in that year, Fulton makes it to the state tournament and makes it all the way to the state championship game. Talk a little bit about what you remember just from that experience of that year and having the opportunity to play for the state championship.
Well, it was, it was extremely exciting for us. I can remember you going through the district, and I believe we won the district that year, and then you get into the regionals, and I think we finished runner-up. But at
to the East, I believe it was.
It was East, mm-hmm. Okay. And the runner-up could go to the state. So being runner-up, I think we got a pretty hard draw. But, you know, we played good. We had some really good basketball players, Hill and Pritchard. We just had a good nucleus of players. And, of course, we had Coach Fry, who coached us well. But one of the main things in Nashville, as I can remember, we found a little novelty store and had an eight ball. And I happened to go by there before the first game and just turned it, you know, they say ask it a question. So I said, are we going to win tonight? Turned it over and it said, definitely. And, I mean, we blew the team away. And so I did that every night before we played. And everything was good until the final night. And it said, I doubt it.
Wow. That is amazing. And in that first round game, you played Memphis Central, which was the team that was considered to be the favorite going into the state tournament, and you won over Memphis Central 66-60, beat Meigs County, beat Sparta, and in that last game against Bradley County, they had another pretty good athlete on their basketball
pretty
team
good.
That a lot of people have heard of, and Steve Sloan.
Yes, that's correct, too, and he was an awful good basketball player, too.
And went on to Alabama and also played in the NFL. You made the all-tournament team. Talk a little bit about your feelings about being runner-up, not being able to win it all. Does that, as you look back on it now, does that kind of make it not as good of experience, or is it just the experience of being in the state tournament and making that run? Is that the thing that you remember the most?
No, I think what happens is the older you get, the more you appreciate the opportunity to be there. You know, at that time, you're very, very disappointed, and it takes you a long time to get over the disappointment of not winning the state. But, you know, at a few years down the line, you can look back and say, well, you know, we were pretty good. We had a good team. We came close, but, you know, runner-up's better than being last anyway.
We're visiting with Ron Whidbey today here on Fulton Focus. We're going to take another quick break and be back with more, so stay tuned.
Falcon Radio 91.1.
It's never too early to start reading to your children. When you open a book, you can explore new worlds, meet new friends, and discover new adventures, like the ones in the Chronicles of Narnia.
Impossible!
Are you prepared for what awaits you?
To find out more about the wonders of reading, you can visit the Library of Congress website at www.loc.gov and let your journey begin. This message has been brought to you by the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
Falcon Radio 91.1, WKCS Knoxville.
It's Fulton Focus here on WKCS Radio. Russell Mays with you, and we're so glad to be joined by Ron Whidbey. And Ron's been recounting his time playing basketball and baseball and football here at Fulton High School. And you told us the story about going to UT. You had a football scholarship, and they weren't sure that you could make it as a basketball player. So I think that's interesting. But being at UT during that time period had to be exciting, because there was kind of a breath of fresh air going through UT, because they had a new football coach in Doug Dickey and also a new basketball coach in Ray Mears. Talk a little bit about what it was like to be a volunteer during that time period.
Well, first of all, I was ecstatic to be, going to UT, because while at Fulton and even at Christenberry, I'd go over on Saturdays and, you know, get in by selling hot dogs and Cokes. And I always told my daddy that one day I would play there. And, you know, thank God I was able to. But, yeah, with Coach Mears coming in, making it a new era for UT basketball, and Coach Dickey, of course, for the football team, it was very exciting. I actually got started punting as an accident, because I was, you know, considered a basketball player, but I think the punter got hurt, or they weren't satisfied with the guy they had on the freshman team that year, and they asked me to punt. And you know, back then freshmen only played three games, so that was no problem. Coach Mears didn't mind, and I thought it would be kind of fun. And then they asked me to come back, you know, and try out as next year for the varsity. Well, that's how I got started, just punting. But Coach Mears, he put a new philosophy into basketball, a new atmosphere at UT, and it was very exciting to play.
And what was the difference in basketball? The difference that Ray Mears had on that program, and a lot of people are talking about kind of how it was back then compared to today, now that Bruce Pearl has taken over and all the excitement that he's generated. I think that had to be just a big part of it, of what Ray Mears did, was just got the community excited about UT basketball.
Yes, well, Coach Mears was a salesman, and he sold UT, you know, big orange country. And he sold the fact that, you know, he was going to have entertainer players. He's going to have players that played hard, played fair, and was going to win. He was about winning. And, of course, us as players wanted to win. We didn't want to lose, be sure for that. But he had a game plan, you might say. His basketball teams were very disciplined. Everybody had their role. They knew what they were supposed to do. And we all set about doing it, and good things happened.
You get into 1967, you earn All-American honors, and that was a special year for University of Tennessee basketball, and I'm sure had to be special for you because also on that team was another Fulton High School graduate, and that was Bill Justice. Talk a little bit about Bill as a basketball player.
Well, he's probably one of the best that come out of Fulton High School. You know, he's the only one that I know of got a jersey hanging in that gym up there, so that's pretty special, you know, high school All-American. But, yeah, I was I helped try to recruit him. I didn't want him to go to Kentucky and have to play against him. But it was very, very special, you know, being able to play with Billy, room with Billy. And to this day, we're still close friends.
Talk a little bit about the rivalry with Kentucky during that time. And still, that's the big rivalry for UT basketball. That's the game that means the most. And I'm sure for Coach Mears going up against Coach Rupp in Kentucky, that had to be a special game every time you played Kentucky.
Well, without a doubt. But, you know, when most people would look at Kentucky and say that's the one we got to beat, because if you look at the past record, most of the time they win. So you would have to say that, you know, Kentucky was a pinnacle. You had to beat them to get to over the hump. Vanderbilt was another one. Vandy was a very good basketball team back then. But in my tenure at UT, I can honestly say that of the eight games that we played against Kentucky, my record was 5 wins and 3 losses.
Well, and that was not many people doing that during that time, having a winning record against Kentucky. And that's why I think one thing that people remember about Coach Mears is he more than held his own against Rupp. And I know Rupp didn't like that.
No, he didn't like that at all. But
Well, that 1967 season, I don't think a lot of people really had a lot of high expectations for the UT basketball team. But they went and won the SEC championship. You had 50 points in one game against LSU. Talk a little bit about that night.
Well, I mean, that was what they called it. It was my last home game at UT. And, you know, nothing was planned, you know, publicly about that night, mainly because we had to beat LSU that night to get a tie for the SEC championship. And if we beat them, all we had to do was beat Mississippi State in a few days later to win it. But we got well ahead of LSU early, and it was, a tribute from the team to me, and I certainly appreciate it. They just quit shooting. They'd get the ball and be wide open, but they'd turn around and look for me, throw it to me, and want me to shoot. And that's what they wanted, and the crowd wanted it, and it was a great night for me.
Well, and that was a record for most points in the game at UT that lasted a long time, and interestingly enough, was broken several years ago by Tony White, who's tonight being inducted into the Knoxville Sports Hall of Fame. How do you feel about having a record broken like that? Is that something that it's kind of bittersweet that you'd like to have that record, but you know if somebody comes along and knocks it off, you're happy to see it. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, as people say, records are made to be broken, which is true. But everybody likes to, you know, have a little something special in their life. No, I don't. The only thing that I would say about that is that I don't know if I'd made any three-pointers that night, but we didn't have a three-point line.
Okay. Well, that game with Mississippi State was a classic to win the SEC championship, and a lot of people that have followed UT athletics for a long time list that as maybe one of the great moments in University of Tennessee basketball. I think it was two or three overtimes. Just talk about your remembrances of that night at Mississippi State.
Well, I mean, that'd be hard to do even in just a few minutes. But, you know, we went down there with the attitude that, of course, you know, to win the game. And Mississippi State had a pretty good basketball team. But, you know, back then when you were playing Mississippi State, Mississippi, Alabama, and those gyms, which weren't big, it was a little tougher than it is today in these large field houses. But, yeah, it was a triple overtime. We had a chance to win it in the second overtime, missed a couple of free throws, but went into the third overtime and then came out by 2 points, and it was I can't tell you how ecstatic, you know, we all were, and myself. The only problem we had, it fogged in Starkville, and we couldn't get out that night to come back to UT and party and celebrate.
Well, Starkville's a hard place to get out of, even on a clear day, I think. You had 35 points in that championship game. That was pretty amazing. You were the leading scorer for the Vols that night.
Well, you know, it's, as I said, mentioned before, Coach Mears pretty much had a system, and everybody knew their job. And my job was not that I was the best shooter or the scorer, but my job was to score. And, you know, everybody took care of their job. He told us we'd win, and look what happened. We won the SEC title for the first time in years and years.
And what was interesting to me, the day that article came out in the newspaper, Fulton High School announced that they were going to have a day to honor you and Bill Justice and also some of the other great players that played down through the years at Fulton High School. And that had to be great to have that honor. And we still have that picture of you and Bill up on the stage down in our trophy cases. Talk a little bit about that.
Oh, that was a nice night that, excuse me, you know, we had a nice little being honored here at Fulton High School with Billy and myself and our parents. And unfortunately, his dad and my dad have passed away, but our moms are still here with us, but it was a special night, and we certainly appreciate it.
Ron Whidbey is our guest here on Fulton Focus. We're going to take one final break and be back with more. Stay tuned.
Falcon Radio 91.1.
You'll drive half a mile down the road to save a few cents a gallon on gas. But did you know that you could save 9 cents a gallon if you were to just keep your tires properly inflated? Properly inflated tires give you a safer ride, improves gas mileage, and helps tires last longer. Underinflated tires can lower gas mileage and cost you money. So be tire smart, and the next time you pull up to pump gas, it might just be time to pump some money-saving air, too. A message from the Rubber Manufacturers Association.
Falcon Radio 91.1 WKCS Knoxville.
Welcome back to Fulton Focus on WKCS Radio. We're wrapping up our time with Ron Whidbey, and like we said, Ron, you were a multi-sport athlete at UT. You're remembered for basketball, but you're also an All-American punter at football. What did you do to prepare yourself to be a punter? What did it take to be a special punter?
Well, I don't know really what it takes. You know, when I was a kid, early and be out in the street, you used to, you know, kick the football all the time. We used to play a game called Setback. I don't know if you're too young to remember that game, but you could either throw it, punt it, or drop kick it. But that's just where I learned how to punt a football. And then, you know, I had some coaching with Coach Hutchins here at Fulton, you know, to learn better techniques of punting. And then, of course, Coach Capico was a good punter at UT, and he taught me quite a few things. So it's something that comes naturally, but having long legs and you know, being able to get them above your head really helps.
Well, that's, and by the way, Coach Coatney wanted to know if you still had a couple of good punts left in you. He said he could use you this year against Austin East.
I don't think I could get my leg above my waist right now.
So after your time at UT, you have the opportunity to play in the NFL. Talk a little bit about that experience, and also got to play in a couple Super Bowls with the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, I was, you know, drafted by New Orleans Saints, and then really wasn't ready for the NFL at that time. And then I got traded up to Dallas and spent my first year on the taxi squad, which is basically a practice squad. Came back the next year and made the team. And of course, we had one of the greatest coaches to ever live, and it's Coach Landry. And the third or fourth year that I was there, we went. Got to go to the Super Bowl, got beaten the last few seconds by Baltimore, which was very traumatic, I guess you'd say, to everybody.
One of the heartbreaking football games of all time, I think.
Yeah. And came back the next year with the attitude that, you know, if we did it once, we could do it again. And that year we went into the Super Bowl game there, I don't think anybody had a doubt, you know, we were going to beat Miami, and we totally controlled that football game.
And those were great Dallas Cowboy football teams. What was it just like to play with those guys?
Well, it was an honor. I mean, I got to play with people like Bob Hayes, Ray Phil Wright, who's going in the NFL Hall of Fame this year, Leroy Jordan, you know, Alabama great, and Roger Staubach. Everybody knows Roger Staubach, the great Heisman Trophy winner. So Bob Lilly, I could go on and on, but it was an honor, to be on the same team that with those guys.
And you mentioned Tom Landry. What was it like to get to play football for probably one of the most well thought of football coaches in the history of the NFL?
Well, that was an honor, and Coach Landry was he was pure business when you were playing for him. He had very little to say except for the coaching and techniques, but just the nicest guy in the world, outside of football. If you weren't playing for him.
And you also had a chance to play for another great franchise, the Green Bay Packers.
Yes, when I got traded out of Dallas to Green Bay, and being a Southern boy, didn't want to go up to Green Bay, but I went up there, and I got to play for Dan Devine, who had previously been at Missouri and then went on to Notre Dame, won a national championship, was a super fella, and had the privilege of one of the assistant coaches being Bart Starr. So, and one of my teammates before he retired at the time was Ray Nitschke. So I've been very fortunate in my life to have some great teammates.
Well, there's no question about it. It's just an amazing journey I know that you had in just your sporting career, and to have been able to run across so many great people and to play with so many great people and have been a part of championships in both the college side and also in the NFL, and just kind of catch everybody up with what you did after your NFL career.
Well, I went into regular business. I was in roofing sales rep for a roofing manufacturer and did that for quite a few years. Had my own business where I built, did a little construction decks and also some roofing. Tried the senior tour, for a couple of years. Would make about enough money to pay expenses, but not all the expenses at home. So I gave golf up, and now I'm back working. I'm an estimator for a roofing company in Wichita Falls, and staying busy, working every day that I can. Have a grandson now that's 2 years old on the 4th of July this year. Still living in Texas, but still come to Knoxville to visit all the nice people here.
Well, Ron, it's certainly been just awesome to have the opportunity to be here to chat with you, to talk about your time at Fulton and also at UT and beyond. Thank you so much for taking time to visit with us, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you, Russell. My pleasure.
That's Ron Whidbey joining us here on Fulton Focus today. We certainly hope that you've enjoyed our show, and we'll be back next week with another edition. So until then, this is Russell Mays saying thanks for listening to Fulton Focus here on WKCS Radio.
You have been listening to Fulton Focus, a presentation of the Fulton Alumni Association and the Public Affairs Department of WKCS Radio. If you have questions or comments about today's show, please send them care of WKCS Radio, 2509 North Broadway, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37917. This is WKCS Knoxville.